member of the executive staff who is asking the employee to circumvent a security policy. Every company also needs to have policies and procedures that guide employees in responding to requests to take any action with computers or computer-related equipment. In the story about the publishing company, the social engineer targeted a new employee who had not been trained on information security policies and procedures. To prevent this type of attack, every existing and new employee must be told to follow a simple rule. Do not use any computer system to perform an action requested by a stranger, period. Remember that any employee who has physical or electronic access to a computer or an item of computer-related equipment is vulnerable to being manipulated into taking some malicious action on behalf of an attacker. Employees, and especially IT personnel, need to understand that allowing an outsider to gain access to their computer networks is like giving your bank account number to a telemarketer or giving your telephone calling card number to a stranger in jail. Employees must give thoughtful attention to whether carrying out a request can lead to disclosure of sensitive information or the compromising of the corporate computer system. IT people must also be on their guard against unknown callers posing as vendors. In general, a company should consider having specific people designated as the contacts for each technology vendor, with a policy in place that other employees will not respond to vendor requests for information about or changes to any telephone or computer equipment. That way, the designated people become familiar with the vendor personnel who call or visit and are less likely to be deceived by an imposter. If a vendor calls even when the company does not have a support contract, that should also raise suspicions. Everyone in the organization needs to be made aware of information security threats and vulnerabilities. Note that security guards and the like need to be given not just security training, but training in information security as well. Because security guards frequently have physical access to the entire facility, they must be able to recognize the types of social engineering attacks that may be used against them. Beware spyware. Commercial spyware was once used mostly by parents to monitor what their children were doing on the internet, and by employers, supposedly to determine which employees were goofing off by surfing the internet. A more serious use was to detect potential theft of information assets or industrial espionage. Developers market their spyware by offering it as a tool to protect the children, when in fact their true market is people who want to spy on someone. Nowadays, the sale of spyware is driven to a great extent by people's desire to know if their spouse or significant other is cheating on them. Shortly before I began writing the spyware story in this book, the person who receives emails for me, because I'm not allowed to use the internet, found a spam email message advertising a group of spyware products. One of the items offered was described like this. Favorite. Must have. This powerful monitoring and spy program secretly captures all keystrokes and the time and title of all active windows to a text file while running hidden in the background. Logs can be encrypted and automatically sent to a specified email address, or just recorded on the hard drive. Access to the program is password protected, and it can be hidden from the Control-Alt-Delete menu. Use it to monitor typed URLs, chat sessions, emails, and many other things, even passwords. Wink emoticon. Install without detection on any PC and email yourself the logs. Another item offered in the same email promised to capture screenshots of the user's computer, just like having a video camera looking over his shoulder. Some of these software products do not even require physical access to the victim's computer. Just install and configure the application remotely, and you have an instant computer wiretap. The FBI must love technology. With spyware so readily available, your enterprise needs to establish two levels of protection. You should install spyware detection software such as SpyCop, available from www.spycop.com on all workstations, and you should require that employees initiate periodic scans. In addition, you must train employees against the danger of being deceived into downloading a program or opening an email attachment that could install malicious software. In addition to preventing spyware from being installed while an employee is away from his desk for a coffee break, lunch, or a meeting, a policy mandating that all employees lock their computer systems with a screensaver password or a similar method will substantially mitigate the risk of an unauthorized person being able to access a worker's computer. No one slipping into the person's cubicle or office will be able to access any of their files, read their email, or install spyware or other malicious software. The resources necessary to enable the screensaver password are nil, and the benefit of protecting employee workstations is substantial. The cost-benefit analysis, in this circumstance, should be a no-brainer. Antivirus gap? Antivirus software doesn't detect commercial spyware, thereby treating the software as not malicious, even though the intent is to spy on other people. So the computer equivalent of wiretapping goes unnoticed, creating the risk that each of us might be under illegal surveillance at any time. Of course, the antivirus software manufacturers may argue that spyware can be used for legitimate purposes, and therefore should not be treated as malicious. But the developers of certain tools once used by the hacking community, which are now being freely distributed or sold as security-related software, are nonetheless treated as malicious code. There's a double standard here, and I'm left wondering why.